Welcome to the Cashflow Ninja, the podcast sharing how to create and grow income streams and manage, multiply, and protect your wealth in the new economy. Are you tired of trading your time for money? Do you desire freedom today instead of retirement in 10, 20, or 30 years? I'm MC Lobsher, and this is the Cashflow Ninja.
This is the Cashflow Ninja. My name is MC Lobsher. Thank you so much for joining me and spending your most valuable resource, your time, once again with me for another episode on the Cashflow Ninja podcast. Just a reminder, you can check out all of our past episodes of Cashflow Ninja, along with our other show, Cashflow Investing Secrets, along with tools, community resources, and much, much more at cashflowninja.com. That's cashflowninja.com. I'm super excited about another episode. We've got a returning guest, Carl Allen. He's been on the show before. If you're looking for a ninja to go out and buy businesses in one of the greatest times possibly to go and buy businesses, Carl's the guy to speak with. Carl, great to connect again, my friend.
Great to be back. Looking forward to it.
So for new listeners and viewers out there that's not familiar with you and what you do, can you please just share a little bit about your background with them and what you're currently up to?
Yeah, sure. So I've been a deal maker. I'm in my 29th year now. So I started my deal making career back on Wall Street in 1992. So I was buying and selling businesses for very large corporates. Went on my own in 2008, buying and selling my own businesses through my private equity fund, which I still run. And then about 5 years ago, I started coaching entrepreneurs how to model my system, how to buy businesses using other people's money. And we have over 5,500 students in our global network doing deals in multiple countries and virtually every sector imaginable.
And what a time it is. Maybe you can speak to that. This year, obviously a very, very interesting year, and looking into the future and doing a little bit of the crystal ball business. It's going to be very interesting in 2021 as well. A great time to buy businesses right now.
Yeah, so it's a great time to buy businesses. It's probably the best time to buy businesses in the last 50 years, but there's a caveat. And the caveat, it's the same, you know, no matter what time we're in. And it's all about buying the right businesses. So if you look at where we were at kind of the end of last year, before the whole kind of pandemic hit, if you look at the US and the UK combined, there's about 2.5 million businesses for sale, sub kind of $5 million in annual revenues. And that's kind of the bulk of the market. You know, if you look at the US, there's like 35, 36 million small businesses. 99.9% of them are kind of sub $5 million. And what we were seeing last year was the trend driving businesses to market was primarily fueled by baby boomers. So according to the Wall Street Journal, there's 10,000 boomers retiring every day in the US, and tons of them own small businesses. And if you go back maybe 20 years ago, it was normal for a business owner just to hand the business down to a family member. But today, the kids want to go to college and be doctors and dentists and so on. They don't want to take over the family company. So these owners were coming to market trying to sell a business. And what we found out last year was that about 20% of people selling their businesses were only interested in the money. They wanted to sell to the highest bidder and didn't really care what happened to the company once it had been acquired. But we target the kind of the 80% that they won't just sell for money. They want to sell to the right person. They want somebody that they see as a safe pair of hands that will treat the company well, will honor the legacy that they've built, and will safeguard their employees and their customers and make sure that nothing gets overly disrupted. So then when we got into 2020, then kind of COVID hit. And what's really interesting is business performance across the entire spectrum, revenues have declined on average 22% across the whole industry. Obviously, you know, you wouldn't buy an airline right now. You wouldn't buy a cruise ship line. And you'd have to be really careful with most retail businesses. But we've seen some phenomenal pivoting in the small business space. Some truly unbelievable performances where companies have not only survived COVID, they've actually thrived. They've changed their business models to suit the kind of time that we're in. And just some really cool stories. Like I remember I was looking at an engineering company And I decided I didn't want to buy that business. But the owner called me right as we went into lockdown in the UK. And he's like, you know, what do I do? I make components for motorbikes. And my biggest customer just called me and said, hey, we're not buying any components for the next 3 months. What do I do? And I said to him, how quickly can you pivot your manufacturing to make components for medical devices? He said, well, 24 hours, it's the same stuff. And now he's doing 4x the revenue and like 10x the cash flow because he's making the components for medical devices, which are now being used in hospitals to treat people with COVID-19. I've seen retailers that would have gone bust, would have gone broke if they didn't change, because obviously with lockdowns, people weren't going into their store. They've transitioned themselves to being 100% online businesses and will never go back because they're making tons more money by doing those things. And like in the UK, a lot of my local favorite restaurants, we don't have like Uber Eats in the UK as much as like the US. They transition to being purely online delivery focused, making so much money, they're never going to go back to being an in-store restaurant. So the big takeaway for this for me is what's blown me away this year is the power of the entrepreneurial spirit of business owners that have said, look, I'm not going to let this pandemic kill my business. I'm going to pivot. I'm going to change my business model. Not only am I going to survive COVID, I'm going to thrive and make my business be even more powerful than it was before. Some business owners, they've put their head in the sand thinking it was going to turn around, and sadly it's not, and those businesses have gone under. But really, businesses that are still around, you can buy them now for pennies on the dollar, because what I've seen this year, I saw a lot after like 2008, 2009, where companies survived. But it was like this, you know, we use the phrase in the UK, the straw that broke the camel's back. You know, people survived the recession in 2008, 2009 and thought, you know what? I don't want to go through this anymore. I'm happy to sell my business, cash out, and let somebody else deal with it. And I'm seeing that a lot now. Like in the UK, like our vaccines got released today for the first time. So we're going to be back to normal, I'm guessing, early part of next year, that the economy will thrive again. But a lot of business owners are going to say, you know what, maybe this is the time I retire or I sell, let somebody else take my business. And then when you look at the economics around buying and selling businesses, only about 1 in 11 businesses that try to sell actually do. So like in the US, you've got 2.3, 2.4 million sellers, about a quarter of a million buyers. So you've got this crazy imbalance of supply and demand. And all that's doing is it's driving down the valuations for people to buy. So those are some of the massive trends that I've seen in the last 6 months.
It's almost like in 2020, in the space of like 3 months, especially you know, in the States, but globally, we fast forwarded 10 years into the future where most companies would have most likely worked at home anyway. You know, had their employees work at home or work more remotely. They were trending towards that anyway. There's other examples of that too. And I mean, online, most businesses would have had an online component or some digital component to it 10 years from now, right? With all the trends in motion. So it's interesting to your point that, yeah, you're going to have to look at stuff that is the right business to buy, that you can make adjustments with and maybe reposition. There's someone here in the US that have bought a ton of brands that they're going to roll out. I believe it's Pier One they bought. They bought
Ty Lopez.
Yeah, Ty Lopez just bought like 4 or 5 different brands.
So Ty's a really good friend of mine. I've known Ty about 5-6 years. And so what he's doing is exactly to my previous point. You know, he's taking brick and mortar retail businesses, which, you know, even without COVID, never would have survived in the whole drive to e-commerce and you know, what the online space is doing. He's taking those businesses and transitioning them purely online. And, you know, he's doing a deal a month right now. I think he's bought Pier One. He's done all these amazing deals. He bought Radio Shack. You know, he's bought, like, his portfolio now was probably doing $1 billion in revenue 2 years ago. And now he's doing it all online. As we know, with online businesses, if you can fix the marketing and fix the distribution, your margins go way up because you're not paying that in-store retail presence, which, you know, is killing a lot of those businesses right now. In the UK, you know, there's, you know, a guy called Sir Philip Green who has all these massive billion-pound retail businesses like Topshop and Evans and Dorothy Perkins. And again, never followed the trend and took those businesses online, and now they've all gone bankrupt. So what's interesting about business, and I, you know, I've been in this market now for almost 30 years, and what I've seen is that over the period of time, things change in the economy. There are massive drivers that change the way businesses have to function. It could be health issues like COVID. It could be what the guy did with Napster. Was it Sean Parker? I can't remember his name. The guy that founded Napster, he fundamentally changed the way music was going to get digitally distributed. Then you had Apple with iTunes. And then now there's no Tower Records, there's no HMV. People now don't go into a store and buy music. They stream it online or they buy it online. And these things kind of happen in all industries. Things change. Business today won't be the same 10 years from now. All that's happening now is the pace of innovation is getting faster and faster and faster. And companies have got to change their business models almost in real time to keep ahead of all these changing trends. So yes, you can buy businesses right now at a huge discount and you can buy them over time. So if you buy a business that 2 years ago was worth $5 million, today you might be able to buy it for $1 million. You don't need to pay the $1 million at closing. You can pay for that business over time if you want to. But then it's all about going in and being able to pivot to the changing times that we're seeing.
Yeah, and it's interesting to what you're saying, like the speed of innovation, because I'm just thinking AI, robotics, and all of these driverless cars and buses and coming out, rolling out with the 5G networks that are going up. I mean, if you just think at the massive jump from like 3G to 4G and all the speed of everything and the interconnectivity of everything, it's really just going to amplify the speed of what's going on. So what are some businesses that you're looking at in certain verticals that are very, very powerful still and is now a good area to look at for potential businesses to buy?
The big kind of five for me is, you know, number one, it's still an awesome time to buy a transportation business. So even with all, you know, the trillions of dollars of consumer spend that's shifting to online, and even B2B that's buying online through these procurement hubs, all that stuff, whether it's food, clothes, iPads, whether it's, you know, anything that you buy, it's got to move from A to B. Yeah. So the transport industry, I used to own a transport company. I wish I still did. You know, I sold out too early. So anything in transportation, you know, inside of my private equity fund, you know, we own a couple of transport companies and we're buying a third one. I'm a partner in that. I don't own them personally. Those are great businesses to buy. You know, construction for me still remains a phenomenal industry. Even through COVID, everybody started building stuff. Like in the UK and the US, you know, construction businesses from groundworks to structural steel fabrication, you know, to all those different businesses. You know, engineering for me is always a great thing, especially if you're dealing in kind of retrofit. So if you look at the airline industry, you know, there's not a lot of new planes going to get built. I think over the next 5 years, I think the airline industry is going to be cash starved. They're going to have to catch up, but they're going to have to maintain a lot of their existing planes. Same with cars, same with anything that goes on water. So I think engineering companies that are making replacement components and all those different things, you know, they're going to thrive as well. You know, anything in technology, like look at what's happened over the past 6 months with people working from home, both technology companies selling into corporate, technology companies selling B2C, like Slack, like the whole world went crazy for kind of Slack as people started working from home and started communicating through that server process. They've just been acquired for $27 billion by Salesforce. Slack's never made a profit ever. Yet they've just been bought for $27 billion. It's like when Microsoft bought Skype all those years ago. Skype had never made money. People ask me all the time, you know, why do people buy businesses for all that money when they're not making money? It's because, yeah, look at what Salesforce will do with that business. They'll stuff their CRM software down every throat of every Slack user on the planet. That's, you know, they'll get their money back. And then I think for me, professional services still, so we've said transport, construction, engineering, manufacturing, IT. The fifth one for me is professional services. You know, I think what we've seen over the past 6 months is whilst a lot of people have gone out and bought businesses, a lot of people have gone out and they're starting businesses as well. And we're in kind of the outsourced generation that, you know, if you start a business or you're in business, it's all about staying true to your core and really leveraging your genius and then outsourcing everything else that you do. So, you know, getting into that kind of, you know, marketing agency, advertising agency, you know, companies that run your Facebook ads or do SEO, you know, anything like that in the services space is huge. So those are my big five. But then I think you could say holistically, a good deal is any business that can really have the opportunity to pivot through these changing times and make you a lot of money, especially if you can buy it at a huge discount right now.
Yeah, and the something to be aware of too is even if future shutdowns are an issue, you know, there's a lot of these companies that you just listed that they were pretty much just plugging along and chugging along nicely, right? Because it seems like this has been a part of this year. You're in the UK where you're at, there's obviously some shutdowns and lockdowns again. There's certain things in certain states because it's all the states are very much different in the United States. So with that in mind, I just wanted to touch base on a couple of things here that you said, which is very, very interesting. And this is something that I've heard you speak of before. One of the things that's really interesting is that you mentioned, well, say Salesforce bought Slack because they're going to sell their CRM to all of the Slack users. So it's basically a database that they just got of all these new potential clients. So it was very strategically done. And back to Ty Lopez, one of the things that Ty said too was he looked at the people that have bought from Pier One, their customer list, right? And these lists that he was buying, and it's an enormous list, people that have bought stuff from them. So you're buying basically access to another audience, right?
Yeah, so if you're Ty Lopez, you bought Pier One and you've got this database of millions of customers. He then went and bought Madel's Sporting Goods. So can he sell the Pier One products to the Madel's list? Absolutely. Can he sell can you do it the other way around? Can he take all the Madel's products and sell them to the Tier One people as well? So what he's doing is he's buying all these assets. So he's buying products, and he's buying customers. And then all he's then doing is he's cross-selling the customers between the different lists. And at the same time, he's taking a brick and mortar business, taking it online where your overheads go massively lower. And then he's combining all that marketing and finance and admin and all of that infrastructure that runs for each one of those companies. So again, he's increasing margins. So it's an absolutely phenomenal, you know, model that he's doing. And that's how big businesses have always grown. You know, look at Cisco. Cisco, one of the greats when it comes to acquiring new customers. When they started out in the 90s and they started designing, you know, their products, their routers and switches, and then they saw an opportunity to scale, they didn't call the lab and say, right, guys, you got to build this software product that our customers want. You got to build all these new things that our customers want. They went out and they acquired those customers and those products, so they scaled through acquisition. So I think not only is it a great idea to become a business owner by buying a company rather than starting a company, it's a great way to scale an existing business because you can buy revenue, you can buy cash flow, you can buy products and services, and you can buy talent by acquiring another business instead of doing it organically in the marketplace. It's quicker, it's cheaper, and it's far less risky.
I've also seen this exact same strategy in professional services in the United States, where there's an accounting firm that partners with an insurance, that buys an insurance company, and then they're buying a wealth management company, you know, and maybe a credit repair, you know, company, and bring it all in-house. And with real estate too, where you have title companies now being bought by a real estate brokerage firm and a credit company. It's been very, very interesting to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's two big drivers of that. You know, number one is share of wallet. So if you've got a company and you've got a cost base and an infrastructure, if you can sell other things to the same customers, all that profit is going to drop straight to the bottom line because you're leveraging the fixed cost base that you've actually got. So share of wallet and lifetime value of the customer is really important. But what's also really important is it's what I call the one-stop shop. So if you're a consumer or you're a business and you're, let's say you've got 100 things you spend your money on, isn't it so much more efficient just to buy all those things from a smaller number of people? Like if I go through my checking account as a consumer and I look at all the different things that I spend my money on, you know, and I do that like a year ago versus now. I spend most of my money with Amazon. The reason being, it's so convenient to buy everything from Amazon. Like I'm almost addicted to the process. Every day when I go home, there's parcels from Amazon. We buy everything from them because they've made it so easy for me to get everything I need through one different supplier. And also they're cheaper than everyone else. I click, I buy. Sometimes, you know, I bought something at 10 o'clock this morning. It's 5:30 p.m. now in the afternoon. That parcel was delivered 2 hours ago to my house. So that would have, for me to have gone out to a store and bought it, would have wasted an hour of my day. So I'm buying that convenience and that kind of one-stop shop. And a lot of that drives mergers and acquisitions in the corporate space as well. Even if you're a corporate, you like having a limited number of suppliers because it's cheaper for admin costs. If you're spending more money, you get better terms. It's better for your cash flow, and it's just a lot more reliable. So those are some of the things that really drive a lot of this acquisition behavior that we're seeing.
Absolutely. One of the other things that you mentioned is construction, which is very interesting because I just took a note when you mentioned that, because it's so interesting. There's folks in my network that have electrical companies, and they've been doing very well in this year too, because again, recessions or depressions or pandemics, that does not impact, you know, electricity. If there's a problem with electricity or somebody needs electricity, you're going to need their services, right? So it's very interesting that a lot of this plumbing, you could probably throw in the same thing, a pipe that, you know, doesn't really think about, yeah, maybe I'll hold off for a couple of months. It's a bad time right now. The economy's slow, right? Pipe goes or pipe goes.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, and I almost became a victim of this this year. So normally, as you know, I'm traveling all over the world, you know, to my businesses and doing deals. And then since COVID hit, I went 8 months without traveling. So I was in my house for 8 solid months, which was amazing because I got to hang out with my family. But I think, you know, we're all sat in the house and my wife especially is saying, hey, maybe we got to get that done, or maybe we got to fix this and we got to do that. You know, I live in an estate in the middle of the English countryside. Let's get this fixed. And I'm like, honey, I'm the best in the world at buying businesses, but if you think I can decorate, I can do lawn care, I can do hardscaping, plumbing, electrical work, joinery, carpentry, I can't do that. I just can't. So I got to hire people to do it. And it's been crazy trying to get people. People are so busy right now with stuff. Like, I got a 2-acre garden and, like, I used to cut my own grass. You know, I had to sit on mower and I got to the point where I didn't want to do it anymore. So for me to try and get a landscaper to come and look after my land was crazy. I'm having to pay like double the normal rate just to secure this guy because he's so crazily busy. I was on a podcast a couple of weeks ago where the guy was saying to me, you know, isn't it sad that, you know, the whole business world's like all dying everywhere? And I'm like, no, it's not. All my businesses are thriving. You know, I bought a sign and display company recently. And as soon as the pandemic hit, we just switched everything into COVID signs. And like, we're killing it right now with what we're doing. There's always ways to grow businesses. You know, most business owners will seize these trends as opportunities to do great things. Sadly, others bury their head in the sand and think it's all going to pass. And those are the people that, that ultimately go out of business. So what I love about the current situation, it's the best opportunity in 50 years to do deals. If you've got the hunger to pivot a business and ride with these trends and these times, people always make money no matter what the economy, whether it's booming or busting or whatever. There's always ways to thrive and succeed and make money. So that's why it's a great opportunity. I don't see Warren Buffett complaining right now. He's the best deal maker on the planet. We're just following in his footsteps and in his example.
No, absolutely. I've said, I mean, you could look at this as a time of doom and gloom, or you could look at this as being one of the greatest times to be alive ever, because essentially there's a massive shift happening. You know, and poor shifts, you needed a lot of resources or needed to be so. Now you have technology and you have a very, very favorable climate for negotiation. Just think when you're going from the agrarian age to, you know, the industrial age, is it's, you know, you needed to own a lot of land or already been, you know, be involved with factories. Speaking about the climate of negotiating favorable deals right now and financing, maybe you can speak a little to what's happening there, because as you mentioned, there's 80% of people that's very willing to negotiate and structure deals with regards to the payment of and receiving payments of the business.
Yeah. So what we're talking about here, when we're talking about buying businesses with other people's money, what we're really doing is, and this is a fancy Wall Street term, which is where I learned how to do this. It's called the leverage buying. So basically we're buying a business using other people's money. So other people's money could be equity investors. It could be debt. So an SBA 7A loan or a traditional bank loan or leveraging like real estate or AR or inventory or plant and equipment. But the number one source of financing when you're buying any business should be the seller. So seller financing. And what's really interesting is you've got a lot of business owners that, you know, they want to leave their business. They want to get out of their business. They don't need the capital sum, but they want that monthly cash flow that they're used to getting as being the business owner. So those are what we call seller financing deals. So if you're the right buyer, so you're going to come in, you're going to love that business, you're going to take it to the next level, you're going to let the seller go off and either retire or do something different. In some cases, they're going to let you buy that business, but then just pay them over time. So let's say you find a business that's doing $400,000, $500,000 a year of free cash flow, and the seller will sell that business for a 2x multiple. Most businesses are valued at a multiple of profit, and the average is between 2, 2.5. So let's say you can buy that business for $1 million. They might let you pay them $200,000 a year for 5 years to be the owner of that business, which means that if it's cranking 400 a year in cash flow, you're taking half and the seller's taking half for you to acquire the business. And then when you grow it, the profits are going up, you're taking then more money. So that's a great way for you to do deals. In some instances, the seller might want a closing payment, but there's no end of financing available. You know, if you look at the SBA through their 7A loan program, they've lent more money on deals in 2020 than they have any time in the last 5 years. It's crazy. So there's so much money out there to do deals. You've just got to be the right person doing the right deal. You know, buy a business in an area that you know, find a motivated seller that wants to exit to a safe pair of hands, and then find a business that's profitable, that's got some assets, which means then there's no end of capital that you could raise to do that deal.
Yeah, absolutely. The assets are key. Some ways to navigate and look at evaluating, because obviously there's a changing environment. You mentioned the 2, 2.5 multiple. What are things that folks should look at and consider when they're evaluating what is it worth now? What are some of the things that they need to look at in the climate today?
Yeah, so ideally, you're looking for businesses that, you know, are still performing reasonably well. So we're not talking about you finding the best business in the world. So really, you want businesses that are still profitable. If, you know, if a business is not making any profit, then technically it's not really worth anything unless it's got a huge balance sheet of assets that you're using. So really, you always want a business that's profitable, because then that's going to give you cash flow, obviously, to pay yourself, but it's also going to give you cash flow to be able to, you know, to buy the business. It's like buying a piece of real estate, then renting it out to a tenant. As long as that, as long as you can get cash flow from the tenant, you're able then to go out and raise the money you need to raise to be able to buy it. It's the same when you're doing a business deal. And then really you're looking for deals, you're looking for businesses where as a buyer, you know, you can add a lot of value. So you've got knowledge of the industry, you know, you understand the trends in that industry. You've potentially got a network that you can leverage into that business. And if you don't, let's say you're really passionate about a business, but you don't have the sector expertise, go partner with someone that does. You know, I have a student that is a very successful IBM sales rep, and he's killing it, making a couple of hundred grand a year selling IBM stuff. And he's like, Carl, you know, I'm really done with the technology industry. I don't want to buy a tech company. I want to buy a vineyard. Vineyard's my passion, so I'm going to go buy a vineyard. I'm like, dude, you're nuts. What do you know about the wine industry? You know how to drink wine. Do you know how to grow it? Do you know how to harvest it? Do you know how to bottle it? Do you know how to sell it? No. So go partner with somebody that knows how to do that stuff. Buy the business together, and then, you know, you can add your sales and marketing expertise into it, but then you have a partner that knows how to grow the stuff and, you know, ferment it. And I'm not a winemaker, so I don't know how that works. But, you know, go partner with somebody, because it's better to own 50% of something you're passionate about than 100% of nothing. But then plug your own skill gaps with people that know what they're doing.
Absolutely. And the great thing that you already mentioned, if you're buying another business, look at the cross-selling opportunities that's available there. Even if the business isn't crushing it now, that's where they're selling it. Well, what if you already own a business, which a lot of our listeners do, how can you buy another business and then amplify what you're doing in your current business and then also cross-sell your current business to the new business that you've acquired?
Absolutely. So if you own a business already, then you know, let's say you started that business 5 years ago, and let's say you've got that business to $1 million in revenues. It might take you 2 or 3 more years to go from 1 million to 2 million. You can buy another $1 million business in 45 days and literally double your revenue and more and triple your profit and more. And what I mean by that is, if you own a business already, there are 3 types of businesses you can buy. You can buy a competitor, so you're just doubling down on your market share. You can buy a company in your supply chain. So let's say you're an engineering company. Your biggest overhead is probably the raw materials. Go and buy one of the raw materials manufacturer. So then you're doubling up your margin because you no longer have the cost of sales. Or go and buy a complementary business. So if you own a big landscaping company, go buy a hardscaping company. You can use the same crews to do both of the work. You can cross-sell the services between the two customers. It's the same if you own an electrical construction company. Go and buy a carpentry business, or go and buy a concreting business. If you own a software company, go buy an IT services company. There's ways that you can sell products between those two customers. And then when you consolidate your operations, there's loads of cost synergies. There's loads of ways that you can take cost out of your operation by doubling down, you know, on what you're doing. It's what the big guys did. We talked about Cisco. You know, I used to do deals for Hewlett Packard. You know, I spent $20 billion of HP's money, you know, buying revenue and cash flows and products for them, because it's quicker, cheaper, and far less risky than going and doing it organically.
Absolutely. What are some of the things that you're studying right now, Carl, and what you're learning to prepare you for this ever-changing and fast-paced and changing environment that we're in?
Yeah, so what's really interesting is, from my own personal perspective, you know, I've been doing deals for nearly 30 years. So, you know, I'm always still learning on negotiation and mindset and sales and marketing and, you know, all those different things. You know, I love learning from the greats, you know, Warren Buffett, because success leaves clues. So, you know, people are really surprised when I tell them that I have 9 different mentors, you know, and coaches, because I'm constantly tuning up and up-leveling my game just to do even more. So, you know, and I read a lot. You know, leaders are readers. You know, I'm still reading my 2 books a week. You know, I'm reading books on practical psychology. I love reading autobiographies. I love learning about the successful things that people have done because, you know, success leaves clues, doesn't it? You know, I've always believed that. And, you know, if you want to do something in life, if you want to achieve a result that someone's achieved, just go model them. Figure out, you know, what did they do and how did they do it? And just repeat the process. When we first went into lockdown in the UK at the end of March, early April, you know, I never knew how to cook. And my wife said to me, since you're at home all the time, honey, I think you should learn how to cook. I thought, well, I don't know how to cook. But I thought, well, model my own process. I said to entrepreneurs, if you want to learn how to buy a business, model me. I've got the skills and the tools to teach you how to do it. So I modeled the same process. So I went out. And I found the chef bought his books. And I thought, well, if I buy the exact same ingredients this guy buys and I model his exact same recipe, I surely should get the exact same result. And that's how I learned how to cook. Now I'm a really good cook because I just follow someone's recipes and buy the same ingredients that they do. And it's the same with anything in life that you want to achieve. Find somebody that knows how to do it and has got great results and just follow their recipe. Follow their ingredients, you'll get the exact same results.
Absolutely. You guys are up to amazing things at the Dealmaker Wealth Society. What are some of the things for listeners and viewers that you guys are up to there, and what will they find when they go and check you guys out?
Yeah, so obviously we're all over YouTube. We have a YouTube channel with loads of free training. You know, we have, you know, I've written a book, No Money Down, Business Buying Secrets, since I last spoke to you. But I think that the best place for people to start is if you're interested in buying a business, either as a new business or acquiring from within an existing business you've got, we've put together some free training so people can get a kind of high-level understanding of what this really entails and how the process works. People have used that free training and gone off and closed deals, which is great. Other people have gone through the training and thought, well, I need a little bit more help. I need a little bit more coaching. Then they can come and work with us inside of Dealmaker Wealth Society. But as the first step, if people go to trainwithcarl.com/cashflowninja, so that's trainwithcarl.com/cashflowninja. We've put this free training together for your audience that can get a really good understanding of what this entails. And then there's options for people to work with us if they want to further down the line.
Awesome. trainwithcarl.com/cashflowninja. Definitely check that out. And if folks want to stay in touch with you, I know that you guys do content too, and where can they follow you? And also your book that was out, where can they grab a copy of that?
So here's my book. I just, like somebody said to me the other day, oh, I love your virtual library background. I'm like, no, this is my library. And I reached out and I pulled my own book off the bookshelf. I got thousands of books here and this is my book. So yeah, what we'll do actually, we'll put a link to that book on that page. So the trainwithcarl.com, Cashflow Ninja, we'll put a heavily discounted link on that page for you to get a copy of the book. You can get it on Amazon, I think it's $30, but we'll do a super, super like $5 link or something on that page for people to get this book. And then check out dealmakerwealthsociety.com. There's a great free newsletter you can sign up to called Confessions of a Dealmaker. So we publish that 4 times a week. I talk about all the deals that I'm doing, all the, you know, the trips that I'm now back doing. You know, you get to learn about me and my family, and, you know, you see me walking around my country estate with my dogs and doing deals on the phone and all that different stuff. So yeah, it gives people a kind of an inside look as to, you know, what do I do every day? And, you know, I have a lot of fun, you know, buying businesses, doing deals, whilst it's very lucrative, very profitable, also a lot of fun. So you get to see me with my family and all the crazy stuff that we get up to. So it's all in good humor.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been a blast having you on again and connecting and catching up, and as always, just providing so much value for all of my listeners and viewers.
Thanks, buddy. Great to connect with you again. Keep in touch.
Awesome. Thank you so much for spending your most valuable resource, your time with us. Check out all of our past episodes, tools and resources at cashflowninja.com, and definitely check out trainwithcarl.com/cashflowninja. Until next time, live infinitely. This presentation is for educational and informational purposes only. The information being presented and considered does not consider your particular financial objectives or situation, and it does not make personalized recommendations. This material is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified tax and legal advisor or other qualified professionals, and you should not use the information in place of a customized consultation with a licensed professional regarding your specific personal financial objectives, situation, and needs. We believe the information provided is reliable, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, timeliness, or completeness.